last Shabbos, we read the Parsha of Tzitzit, the section in the Torah which is confirmed with Tzitzit. Interesting is that there are a few controversies about this mitzvah of Tzitzit. Of course, in the section dealing with Tzitzit, I mean, is emphasizes that mitzvah tzitzis is a double concept, a twofold principle, commandment. Tzitzis consists of tcheles and lavan. There is a controversy between Rebbe and Rabbanon. It's the first controversy about whether tcheles and lavan are interdependent. One cannot fulfill the mitzvah unless he has both colors inserted in the tzitzit, in his garment, namely the lavan and the tcheles, or there are two mitzvahs completely separated from each other, and even a person who has no tcheles, no matter if we don't have tcheles, can discharge his duty pertaining to mitzvah tzitzis by having the tzitzit made exclusively of lavan. It is known, this controversy is known on the Tchilas Ma'akev, Ma'akev Salavon, or in Tchilas Ma'akev Salavon. Rebbe and Rachovim disagreed. It's according to Rebbe, who thinks that Tzitzis and the Lavon and Tchilas, the white part and the blue part of Tzitzis, are interdependent, they cannot be separated. According to him, we wouldn't have to wear Tzitzis, because we don't have Tchilas. As a matter of fact, there is a Rishon who accepted Rebbe's view. He was always he was a loner, a Bala Moyer. He always comes up with these sensational opinions. He said that the Halacha is like Rebbe, Tchilas Ma'akeves, Lavan Ma'akeves, Tchilas. So the Ramban came, let us examine his Abba Kavves. According to him, there was no need to wear an Abba Kavves, because we are not fulfilling the mitzvah anyway, because the tcheles is missing.
You're not allowed to wear an abba kavves.
Yes, sure. There is another controversy. I just want to enumerate the controversy. There is another controversy about tcheles. What kind of a color is it? Rashi and the Rambam disagreed about it. Both say that tcheles resembles the color of the sky, of the firmament. The question is, what sky? The morning, the midday sky, or the evening sky, when the sky begins to darken at eventide? Rashi says, no one paid attention to Rashi. Rashi says that tcheles represents the evening sky, or rather when the sky begins to darken at even tide. According to Rashi, it means the color of tchilas is very dark. It borders almost on the black. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi. Ram says, Zui, Dmus, Orekia, and this is the color of the firmament. Aniris La'ayin, Bitorish, Orekia. And this is the color of the firmament seen in a blue sky under the sun when the sun is shining. So it is certainly, most probably, he calls Torish, Orekia, most probably, that Ram recommends that it fills should resemble the color of the sky at midday, at noon. It's different, this is a light blue. As a matter of fact, the Chachmei HaKabbalah have developed new concepts. According to Rashi, tcheles represents midas hadin, dark black. According to the Rambam, tcheles represents midas hachesed. Chesed, not racham, chesed. Chesed, it's light. It's light blue. As a matter of fact, you know, there is a group from Chassidim and Chassidim who wear tcheles. It's interesting, I examined their tcheles.
Rashes.
Yeah. Dark.
So.
Dark. Rashes. Rashes. I don't know why they in Shukhloch. Yes, Chelik Gimel Yam, but sometimes it depends the young when. In the late afternoon or in, at noontime. Yeah, but Rashi is before Shechumash. Rashi is a Chumash. Ki Arikia Amashchir, like the sky which darkens, begins to darken. Nais Erev, the even time. This is two controversies. We have a third controversy. Namely, what is the ratio between Tcheles and Lavan? There are three sheets, three opinions. Ram's opinion is that the ratio is 1 to 7. It means one chut out of 8. It means that Apsil Tcheles is died, half of it is died, the other half remains Lavan. But you know, actually we speak about Tzitzis having 8 chutim. It's not correct.
Four.
We fold them, so we get a 4. And according to the Ram, it's a half of a chut. Half of the thread. It means 1 to 7. According to Ra, to the Ravet, it is 2 to 6. And according to the Baba Tesha, say Rashi, it is 4 and 4. Yeah, it's 4 and 4 equal. It's basic. Psil Cheles means the chut with which you wind the tzitzis. Means you have to use Cheles for winding the tzitzis. And that is Psil Cheles. But the Cheles and Lovan simply are equal partners, and each one gets 4 chutim. 4 chutim or 2 chutim. Now there's another problem. How do you obtain the color? The dye. Blue dye for tzitzis. Is there any dye, blue dye, good, or it's a special dye which you need? So we Jews know, I remember as a child I knew about it, that there is a fish which once in 7 years, once in 70 years, climbs up, land, and when you catch him in time, you take his blood and you make a dye out of the blood. Yeah. The question is why Cholozin? I mean, the third question is what Cholozin? Is it a special halacha of Meishan Sinai that the dye for the tzitzis, for the trailer for the tzitzis must be obtained from the Cholozin? We don't have such a halacha. So why Cholozin? Interesting, no one has asked this question. The first one who came with this problem, he just doesn't ask. He gives the answer without asking and raising the question. Was the Rambam. And the Rambam developed a new theory. The Rambam says, and Chazal have very much discriminated between Tcheles, genuine Tcheles, which is obtained from the blood of the Chalozin, and Tcheles, which is obtained from a plant called Kol Yul. And that's why, and Tcheles and Chalozin was very expensive. Very expensive. And Tcheles and Kol Yul, some plant, it was quite reasonable. So the Chazal, and the Shemel Ekecha, and the Shatishas, and the Shatishas, so Rashi quotes the Gemara. I mean, I am the God who will punish a person who misrepresents and sells Kol Yul as genuine Tcheles. Because the difference in price was enormous. Matter of fact, poor people couldn't afford Tcheles and Tcheles. Yeah, the question is what is the quality of the genuine Tcheles? As far as color is concerned, there's no difference between the blue obtained from a plant or the blue obtained from the blood of the Chalozin. Is the Rambam interesting? The Rambam writes, Tcheles amura b'teira b'chol mokim, v'atzomer atzavua b'ksoch shebekechil, v'zuid musa rekiya nires la'ayim, b'teore shorekiya, v'atcheles amura b'tzitzis, צור שתהיה צביו ידוע שימדס ביופי ולא תשתנה בכל שלי מצווה בעיס הצביו שבו שהוא כאין הרקיע אפוסל יציזס. In English is the blue thread wherever it is mentioned in the Torah is wool dyed azur, the color of the firmament seen in a blue sky when the sun is shining. The blue thread mentioned in connection with cities must be dyed with a special dye which retains its luster without change without change. Wool that has not been dyed in this dye is unfit for the use as the thread for tzitzis. So what chayles requires in tzitzis means a color which will not fade. The blood of chalozim apparently had that quality. Had that quality. The dye obtained from the chalozim did not fade, did not lose its luster. No matter how long you wore the tzitzis, the chayles retained its beauty around. One calls it beauty. It's beauty. The same as the new thread. The permanence of color. According to the Ram, you don't need halosim. If you can develop chemically such a dye, I don't know whether do we have such dyes now.
No, it's when it's, the sun
used to say.
They oxidize in the sun.
I don't know. I'm just reading the Rambam.
Oxidation
must take place.
Eventually.
Yeah. But this is the Rambam Shite. As chalozim stands, as a metaphor for a permanent dye. This is the Rambam Shite. And the interesting is that the Rambam applies it only to tzitzis. For instance, tzitzis and bitikuna doesn't require it. Just the color determines the quality. So while in tzitzis is not color alone, is not enough. The permanence of the dye. As a matter of fact, tchilas and lavon represent actually two approaches of man to himself and to the world outside of himself. Lavon in Hebrew, I mean classical Hebrew, signifies first white, the color, but it also signifies clarity or distinctiveness and openness. Lavon denotes rationality, simplicity, and truthfulness, which is obvious to everybody, something which is fundamentally which constitutes an elementary truth is lavon. For instance, I'll give an example. Ein advorim advorim mechuvorim kasim lo. The pulse is a symbol. Advorim mechuvorim kasim lo. What does it mean? The statement is as clear as the dress, as the garment, as the skirt. It means a white skirt, which used to be very white. If you say something is self-evident, it's obvious, doesn't require an explanation on it, and it's rational, you say advorim mechuvorim kasimlo. Chazal interpret the parsha in Kiseitze, uporses asimlo, and uporses asimlo. If he could prove it, beyond any reasonable doubt, mechuvorim kasimlo, that's how Chazal say. For instance, you say in Hebrew advorim melubonim. Clear, it's white. The Rabbi, when I take the Rambam many times, I say, "Noya litzoya leboya." There's no light, there's no whiteness, there's nothing to it. Huh? Libu, libu, for different reasons than white heat. When it gets very hot, so the heat is white heat. Yeah. This is because of the color, of the appearance of the heat. If we say in Hebrew, lavan, we mean to express our acceptance of the word and our certitude that the judgment is correct and self-evident beyond and outside any reasonable doubt. Tcheles is just the opposite. Tcheles is the way our rabbis interpreted. Tcheles deimel lerokiyam, yam deimel lerokiya, rokiya deimel kisakove. What did they have in mind when they formulated that? What did they have in mind? What did they have in mind? Tcheles resembles the firmament, the sky, the blue sky. The blue sky resembles the dead, it resembles the sea, the blue sea. The sea resembles the sky. And the sky resembles the celestial throne. What did they mean? What did they mean by? What did they want to get a white, you know, distance? The inapproachability. Something which is beyond my reach, my touch. Something which is outside and beyond my control. The Rokia is blue because it's very distant. That's how Chazal understood it. Very distant. I can never reach it. The sea is blue because it's very vast. It's big. It's also endless. I can tell you from my own experience. I experience infinity, endlessness, boundlessness. When I watch two things, the sea and the sky. Of course, the sky is more typical, more expressive. You observe the sky and the constellations of the stars, the billions of stars. I mean, in terms of astronomical distances, you simply, your head begins to, one gets dizzy. And this is Tridas. And of course, the throne of God is above the world, beyond the universe. This is Tridas. Whatever we cannot reach, is outside of our control, whatever you don't understand, whatever suggests mystery to us, is considered by Chazal and our rabbis. The Tridas represent this, the mystery in the world. As a matter of fact, the Jewish approach to the world has always been not a uniform one. It has always been an antithetic, ambivalent one. Because the world itself, reality, is surrounding us, and we ourselves, display, what shall I say, two streaks. In the world, for example, one streak in the world is one of rationality. It is a world well organized, which follows the principle of cause and effect. There are no jumps in the world. There are no leaps in this world. And the human mind can grasp the world, can understand it, the human mind. For instance, if man could place, if science could place a man on the moon and the exact spot to which they figured out before, mathematical calculations, the computer doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So you see that there is a streak of rationality to the world. On the other hand, the Jew, the world is rational, it lends itself to understanding and to interpretation in precise scientific terms. This on the one hand. On the other hand, the world is sometimes very perplexing. The world and man as well. Man is also a rational being. You deal with him, he's rational. Not only rational, he's good, he's generous, he's understanding. But man sometimes presents a different, just opposite picture. He becomes irrational, he becomes perplexed. And people don't understand him. The whole world is like that. I always say, it's very strange. Science has made tremendous progress. It's fantastic progress in the field of inorganic matter, physics, chemistry, inorganic matter. The whole technology is based upon our understanding of the behavior of inorganic matter. As far as organic matter is concerned, science is very much behind. And all the scholars in the world, all the scholars in the world, they placed man on the moon and with such precision, just a few seconds, just a matter of a few minutes, and the spot is within several inches. Yes. Are very helpless with regard to certain illnesses, to degenerative diseases. Very helpless. The people who sent up a man to the moon, circling around the moon and landing on the moon and taking over the pattern of the moon, do nothing, cannot do anything. If there is one cell goes berserk and begins to develop not in accordance with the requirement of the organism. In science there is a mystery, and the mystery of life for a long, long time, people, it's not just another threshold solution on the mystery of life. It will take us a long, 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 long time. So apparently the same world which is so generous in giving us information about itself as far as inorganic matter is concerned is very stingy, almost a miser nature, and refuses, to yield any information about our own lives also. As a matter of fact, In our private lives, we have also, the experience of love and the experience of tremor. There is not a single man in the world who did not live through or did not experience the rationality of the universe. And there is not a single person who did not experience or did not, was not confronted with the mystery and the puzzle of the universe. And this is exactly the Strelitz Lama. And beautiful is what Rebbe says. Miaklin says they are interdependent. So not a single person can say, I've always been happy, I've always been successful, my ambitions all came through. Well, I've never been defeated. I mean, some fool can say it. I mean, the American people had the legend, the myth. They've never been defeated. They've always near victorious on war. So Vietnam came and convinced them. In the American myth, I mean, people who came later, America in the 50s, 60s, don't know. But I remember when I came to America in the 30s. So what I couldn't understand, I was so self-confident. It was sometimes ridiculous. We couldn't lose a war. I remember my children used to go to school. We used to discuss some politics and some mistakes made by the president or by the State Department. So I remember Chaim used to bang on the table, we never lost a war, we'll never lose a war. Which means they did not see the streak of trailers. And what happened? The great, powerful United States has lost a war in Vietnam against the primitive people. We are losing the war now against communism. Then Trelles, but in order to be capable, of course we are Jews, certainly, if we had that approach of Lovan to our own history, we would not fight for Eretz Yisrael now. From the standpoint of Lovan, the whole business of Eretz Yisrael was just a big hoax. What do you mean? You come into a land which was populated by Arabs. The land is adjacent to Arab land on all sides. There are about 100 million Arabs. Come here, a million Jews come in. I mean, all right, they have now 2 to 2.5 million, or either 3 million, 4 million. It's bottle the road. And the Arabs are rich, we are poor. They control all the wealth of the world because of their oil. And we are ready, Biden is ready to fight. Because the land was promised to us by the Almighty, 4,000 years ago. The Goyim prefer the approach of Lovan. They want to see things in the light of logic. Everything within the frame of reference of rationality, of world politics, the world power and politics, the world economy. You don't understand our viewpoint. You don't understand what it's all about. I have no complaints against Carter. If I were a Goy, I would also think like that. You know what Humphreys told Senator Stone? He carried a message to the Israeli government. For God's sake, tell them to speak a language which you understand. Not speaking symbols, it's not a question of mysticism. Let them speak a language which treats problems of economy and politics. Real politics. I don't understand. We have complaints. We are not satisfied with the world. We feel lonely. We are lonely people. But you want the Goy to have the approach of Trilis to our history. No Goy can understand it. But in order that the Jew has this twofold approach of Lovan and Trilis, but in order to be able not only to be a victor, but sometimes to take defeat, it doesn't do any harm to a person who takes defeat. So one quality is required of the Trilis. Permanence, loyalty, steadfastness as far as commitments are concerned, loyal to an ancient tradition which should have been forgotten long ago, devotion, absolute, unqualified, unreserved devotion to a commitment which we took upon ourselves 3,500 or 4,000 years ago. And that's what the Rambam requires, that the trails be permanent. If it's just color you, it is derived from a plant which lasts for a while and then fades because of the sun light, fades because of moisture and so forth. This is not realistic. This is not the Jewish approach of the Jew to his own history. That's what Ram says. Trellis, I mean, this is the same blue, but color is a blue which disappears. The Jew committed himself there at Israel, of course, I mean, the covenant with Abraham. But a covenant of 4,500 years ago, I mean, the dawn of our history, I mean, who keeps such agreements? People who have an approach of love, I mean, laugh at us. I mean, they don't understand that. The other day, Noachim Goldman told me, he was speaking with Kissinger, so Kissinger told him, he's studying Josephus now, he's reading Josephus. It's very strange coincidence. They accused Josephus of treason, They accused Noachim Goldman, and Kissinger as well. Yeah, he told. But he said something which touched and moved me. Not moved me, but there is. And I am comparing the story of Josephus with the story of the State of Israel now. And there is one similarity, that the Jew has a suicidal tendency. As a matter of fact, there was a book that was published. It got into my hands just incidentally. It's written in French, was translated in English, on the day on which Jerusalem was burning, by two Jews. Yeah. What did they do? Did they do that? Burned. Yeah. And they did it cleverly. They just, on one page, they copied Josephus, the same thing. On the other page, they copy items from the modern press. And of course, in that time, you know, even Rabbi Akiva wasn't that Rabbi Yechem Ezakel's opinion that the Jews should compromise and give in. But the opinion was rejected. And what happened? Catastrophe, disaster struck. But of course, I mean, this phrase, suicidal tendency, will be rejected by us. But the Jew has a certain tendency, which the rest of the world does not understand. And this is stress. Our history is a mystery to ourselves. But there is tremendous devotion, tremendous commitment. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you frankly, I admire now the American Jews. When the Holocaust took place, American Jewry did not react properly. We could have saved many. Of course, you know, Roosevelt was no good, and the State Department was anti-Semitic, with Secretary Cordell Hull. I mean, but we did not exert any pressure. Not at all. I mean, when I say Chatosi not only with regard to the American Jewry, with regard to myself. Somebody suggested to me, and he's right, that in the Al-Chet, Yom Kippur, a new Al-Chet should be included. Al-Chet Shechotonu Ba'acheinu Be'Europe, the Shor Sheishchanenu Eleinu, Lo'lei Shamanu. It is true, but American Jews react differently now. With more courage. He's not a frightened immigrant anymore, he's an American. With more courage, with more chutzpah. There is the quality of trailers begins to show as far as the American Jewish community is concerned. As a matter of fact, the Jewish institution of marriage, and it's an old institution, it goes back to the day, to the first Friday, that mysterious day on which God, introduced Eve to Adam, and the marriage community was established in the following word: Okin Yazif Ishish Sime Vesoliv, sorry Sime, Vidovak Beishke, Royal Bosarachot. It means this institution of marriage is unites two people, these two backgrounds. these two approaches to life, these two individualities, with sometimes a very little in common, but marriage unites them. And marriage unites two people for two purposes: to see the world through the prism of love, and also to be capable of meeting the world, or confronting the world, when it acts funny. And the world becomes mystery, mysterium tremendum, a frightening mystery. And the world becomes puffering and perplexing. Sometimes, so the husband and wife are united to confront it. And particularly in modern life, we have to confront both the loving experience and the traitor's experience. And for that ability, one thing is necessary: a sense of loyalty. And it's a pleasure for me to be here and to participate in our Simcha, the Simcha of Rabbi Holzer, Mrs. Holzer, and Simcha of Yisma Chutin. First time I had the pleasure to meet. And with Rabbi Holzer, the relationship, and Talmud, friend. You see, I know, I relax with him. I have sincere friendship. There are people who are my friends, and I am their friend, but I can't relax with them. I get tense when they walk off and they're walking. Apparently there's something missing in our friendship, in our relationship. And you can't see that. I think it's true. I feel at home with you. And I had the privilege to teach two of his children. Particularly the younger. You are the older or the younger? I don't know.
David.
My relationship with David can be expressed in the following sentence. He is my pupil and also my pal. Really? We joke together. because in classroom, I become young. When I enter the classroom, I think the youth returns to me. The other day, I visited a doctor and he examined me. So finally, he asked me, "What's your age?" I told him, "Doctor, it depends where. In your office, 120. In my classroom, 20. I like young boys and I become one of the gang, one of the band. It's the only way how to teach, and a teacher who does not lose years in the classroom and does not become one of the of his class cannot teach successfully. You teach pals, friends. You don't teach anything to anyone who is below you. So I have some relationship to your Simcha. So you permit me to share your Simcha and to be involved in it. And to wish you all the luck in the world. Take care of the Chassan and the Kalim.
Thank you. Thank you.